Hey guys, welcome to Sandals Church and thanks for joining us, because here we are all about this vision of being real. And one of the best ways to live that out is by asking the hard questions. And we have a podcast that's devoted right to that, that you can submit any question and get an answer from Pastor Matt. So if you haven't already, check out our podcast. It's called The Debrief and you can find it at debrief.show. But thanks again for joining us and let's have a great service.
Good afternoon, Sandals Church. How many of you guys are aware there's a game today? Yeah, what? Yeah, who? It's the Rams, that's who? Yes. Now, some of you don't know this, you don't care about football, and that's fine, I still love you. But 2 years ago, I went to a Rams football game. Took my nephew, we went to a game. It was my gift to him, celebrating him turning 18. He always wanted to go to a pro football game, which I don't know why we went to the Rams 2 years ago, but they were so bad 2 years ago. So bad, the other team scored 40 points before the Rams scored. True story. They were so bad at the end of the game, the coach was fired. That happened. I was there. That's how God blesses me. Do you know what the difference is between the Rams 2 years ago and the Rams today? They got a new coach. Now, let me say this. Some of you have never had a coach, and you're lost. You need a coach. Some of you got the wrong coach, and you need to fire them today. You're listening to somebody else. You're listening to the life your parents wanted for you. You're listening to the life that social pressure is calling you to live. You're living somebody else's life. You need to fire your coach, and you need to listen to Jesus Christ today, because he has a new life for you. He has a new life for you today. But you got to make a decision, and it's not an easy decision. It's not an easy decision, and here's why. Coach Fisher was a great coach. He had worked before, but he wasn't working then. Some of the strategies you utilize when you're a kid, when you're a young person, when you're newly married, they work, but they don't work today. And you need a new strategy. And we're going to talk today about how to create the life you want. The life you want with the person that you are. Because God wants you to have an amazing life. Listen to me, you are not an accident. I don't care what your parents said. God created you on purpose for a purpose, and we're going to talk about that today. I pray that God changes your life radically today, that you fire your coach and you hire Jesus and you start living for him. So let's pray right now that God would speak boldly to us today so that we could create the life we want starting now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. And in the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, for the strength and the courage to become today who you've called us to be, to begin today building and creating the life we want, the marriage we want, the family we want. Lord, the calling that you've called us to. So awaken us today. Help us to figure out what needs to change and figure out, Lord, what it is that we need to do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. How to create the life you want. Number one, this is real easy, but difficult. Quit worrying about everyone else. Stop it. Stop. Some of you are more focused on social media than you are on you. You're more concerned with keeping up with the Joneses than where you're going. What are you doing? Why are you overwhelmed with everyone else and underwhelmed with you? Romans says this, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why are you constantly judging people? Show me the verse in the Bible that says God called me to be a referee. And let me just say this, why would anyone want to be a referee? It's the only job in the world now where they get to look at your decision in 360 and slow-mo. Can you imagine if I followed you around at work with all these cameras and we just watched your day later from different angles? Yeah, most of you would get fired immediately. Look, being a ref is hard. Don't be one. God didn't call you to be the ref. He's the ref. He says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Listen, I know people have hurt you. But don't let that keep you from God. I know people have lied to you. Don't let that keep you from God. I know people have done things to you. Don't let that keep you from God. Because let me tell you something. One day they're going to stand before God. And here's what the Bible says. Both the quick and the dead stand before God. And I don't care what people get away with now. They won't get away with it forever. Because they're going to stand before the Almighty Living God who watched everything we've done, knows what we thought, and knows what we should have done with our life. And I got good news for you. You don't have to stand before God and be held accountable for anybody else. Amen, parents? Right? Tell your kids, I don't have to stand before God, just you do. I'm trying to get you ready. Wives, you don't have to stand before God and be held accountable for your husband. You just got to stand for yourself. And husbands, you don't have to be accountable for your wife. You got to stand before God and be judged for you. What did you do with your life? How did you live? Would you write this in your notes? I'm a full-time job. You know why I can't worry about people all the time? Because I'm a full-time job. I am high maintenance. My nickname on the mission field, Princess. You laugh, but it's true. I have an innate capacity for getting in trouble and doing stupid things. I've got to keep my eye on the prize, which is one day I stand before God and I'm going to be held accountable for how I live. You see, the second you become focused on others, you've lost sight of yourself. You've lost sight of yourself. Jesus says this way, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? You got a redwood tree growing out of your face. What are you doing? Why are you focused on everybody else? Isn't it amazing how the most critical people are the most blind to themselves? They don't see anything. They don't understand. Don't be that person. You're not called to be a critic. You're called to follow Christ. Why worry about the speck in your friend's eye? And you know why you need to not do this? Because if you worry about every little speck, you're going to be overwhelmed with life. Because people have specks all over the place. But if you're focused on them, you're going to miss the log that's in your eye, that's clouding your vision, that's keeping you from seeing what God's called you to do. How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you cannot see past the log in your own eye? Jesus says, hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your eye, then you will be able to see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Look, man, aren't your eyes sensitive? Anybody ever got something in their eye? Doesn't feel good, does it? It hurts. Look, you don't want to do anything else until you get that out of your eye. Even if it's one of your own lashes that's become a rebel and it's like, I'm going to kill you. And it stabs you in the eye. You're like, ah, it's horrible. It's painful. It's awful. I remember one time Tammy and I were on vacation, and I don't know about you guys, but we share luggage, which really means I have to make room for her luggage. That's what it means. And so we share the same, you know, bathroom kit, and it was in the morning, and it was early. We're getting ready to go, and I confused eardrops and eye drops. And I put eardrops in my eye. Anybody done that? You done that? It hurts like not heaven. Amen. It hurts. It's so bad. It was so bad, I thought I was blind. I thought I had lost my eyesight. I told Tammy, Google it. We got to figure out what to do. Because I was washing it with water and it wasn't getting any better. I kid you not. I don't exaggerate. I want you to Google what to do today. Not now. I'm preaching. Later. What to do if you put eardrops in your eyes. Step number one. This is what WebMD says. Cuss really loud. That's sad. That's how bad it hurts. And step number two. You're not going to die. That's what they said. Step number two. I'm like, thank you, WebMD. It hurts. How sad is it that some of you have a log in your eye and you've grown so accustomed to it, you don't even know it's there. You didn't put eardrops in your eye. You got a telephone pole right in the eye. And you're running around trying to help people. Hey, guys, let me help you out. Why don't you come to Sandals? Like, oh, no, thank you. I don't know if this, you know this, but you got a forest growing in your eyeball. Look, deal with yourself. You're a full-time job. Like, how many of you have kids with multiple kids, right? Doesn't count if you just have one, because then you know who did it. But what do kids do? They're always telling you what the other kid did, even if they were participating. Hey, Dad, I'm here to inform you. There's a rebellion going on. I was a part of it, but I have seen the light. And now I'm coming to tell you what they have done. Stop being a child and grow up. Deal with yourself. Quit worrying about everybody else, what everybody else is doing. This is what the internet has become. The internet is a cesspool for people who are focused on the specs and fail to see their log. This is why, in the name of love, they can cuss you out. Right? They see your speck, but they don't see the log in their eye. Let people go. Let them go. What has God called you to do today? And let me say this today. If you tell Jesus you're more interested than other specks and not your log, you will stand before God one day and be judged for your log. So deal with it. Get rid of it. Get it out of your eye. It will improve your vision. It'll help you see what God wants you to do. But if you don't get rid of that, you can't see. Number two, embrace who Jesus has called you to be. Man, this is why our world is so full of anxiety. So many young people are depressed because everybody's trying to be something, and most people are trying to be something they're not called to be. They're not gifted at. The worst thing we ever do to kids is we tell them you can be anything. That's called lying. You can be some things if you really, really try, if you work at it. But the reality is you need talent, effort, and a bit of luck and blessing. Amen? That's the reality. I'm never going to be in the NBA. Nobody's paying me to play basketball. I'm short, white, and let's face it, middle-aged. Maybe I can be a ref. Amen? That's like the height of my NBA career. Listen to what the Bible says. Let's go ahead. Hey, guys, let's just go ahead. Let's try this. Let's just look what it says. Let's just be what we were made to be. Quit screwing around. I don't know if you know this, but life is flying by. You're running out of time to discover who you were made to be. Just go ahead, be what you were made to be. Underline these words, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves. Do you know why we're all so miserable? Because we're comparing who we are to somebody else. Why be somebody else? Be yourself. Everybody else is already taken. Be you. Stop being everybody else. When I first started being your pastor, I tried to talk like this because that's all I thought people talked. When I went to seminary, all the seminary instructors, they would sound like John Wayne. Some of you don't know who he is, but they would say things like this. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3. Man, the only way I sound like that is if you listen to my podcast on half speed, amen? That's the only way. I can't sound like that. I can't be like that. I was constantly trying to be somebody else and I was miserable. Let me tell you something I learned the hard way. Jesus didn't call me to be anybody else. He called me to be me. And he's called you to be you without envy. Quit wishing you had more talent. Like short people, you're short. Tall people, you're tall. Wider people, you're wide. Whatever. Get over it. Well, if I was more athletic, I would serve the Lord. Shut up. There's no verse in the Bible that says, come to me, all ye athletic people. Quit wishing you were something else and just be yourself. And here's the thing. Some of you, you honestly believe this. There's nothing good about you. That's why you're focused on the good in everybody else. Stop it. Or some of you are pridefully comparing yourself to others. Well, it's not like I ever killed my mom. That's why you watch TV. Like, I'm not like that guy. Well, yay you. I'm glad your mom appreciates it. It says, stop trying to compare ourselves to each other and stop trying to be something we're not. Be who God made you to be. Listen to me. If you can embrace this one truth, you're going to be happy. You're going to learn to love life. You're going to experience the life that God has for you. Paul goes on to say in Romans 12, he says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Underline it. Never forget it. This is a warning from God. Don't think you're better than you really are. This is a human condition. We believe we're more talented than we are. I'll prove it. Right now, I'll prove it. Raise your hand, and you got to be real. God is watching. Do not lie in church. Raise your hand if you drive a car and you believe you are an above average driver. Raise your hands. Come on, Ray. Your hand is up. Look around. This is a statistic impossibility. Everybody's hands up. Nobody believes they're below average. Listen, statistically, some of you are bad drivers. Some of you should turn in your license today. But everybody's, I'm not like that guy. Okay? Guys, let me pick on you for a minute. Ladies, I'm sorry. I don't know what it is with men. Like, you don't know what goes on in a male locker room? Let me help you. There's a bunch of guys in there who've worked out once. And they're a little sweaty. I kid you not, amen, guys, they got their shirts off and they're taking selfie pictures in the mirror. It is weird. It is so weird. And here's what they're doing. They're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen to me, guys. Some of you believe you're a 10. But you don't know the scale goes to 100. You don't know that, right? You don't know that. Here's why you're single. You're shopping for a Lexus with the budget for a Toyota. That's all I'm saying, right? What are you doing? My wife and I, we started watching TV. Now, we're new to this, okay? We're not like a big TV family, but we're getting older. And so when you get older, you say things like, we could go outside, but that would hurt. So you start watching programs together so we can connect. And we started watching this program, and the guy on the show is super handsome. And so my wife randomly is curious how he, this super handsome guy, got his start in acting. So she Googled him, and so she showed me. And she's like, look. And I look at him, and he's in underwear. He was an underwear model. That's how he got his start. And I looked at her, and I told her, yeah, that's never happening for you. Sorry. This is what you got, right? You're in the discount aisle. The only reason I'm getting an email from Calvin Klein if there's some sale. That's the only reason they're emailing me. It's not in your cards, babe. I'm sorry, right? You got to deal with it. And it's okay. It's okay. And if you don't believe that this is true, go back and watch old episodes of American Idol. People believe their whole life that they're going to be the next Mariah Carey. You're like, bro, you're a dude. You're not going to be the next Mariah Carey. No. I know it's true. And I've driven for days. I quit my job. I brought my family. And I am here today to be discovered. Right? Every single one of us needs a Simon Cowell for a friend. We do. You're not going to be an astronaut. Why? You're terrible at math. Right? You're not going to be a model. Why? Mirror. It's okay. You're not going to MIT. Why? Report card. Hey. It's true. We got to get real. We got to get real about our lives. We got to get real about our gifts, our talents, our marriage. We got to get real about dating. We got to get real. We got to get real about our kids. So many of you are trying to, you know, make your kids be something they're not. Man, the only way we're going to have one of those stickers in our family, my kid was an outstanding student, is if we steal it. They ought to have another sticker. My kid was in the principal's office every day. Boom! It just is. Do you know why so many of you have conflicts with your kids? Because you're trying to make them something they're not. Man, I got in big trouble in high school. Do you know why? I got a D on my report card. You don't even know what it was in? Computer science. I probably would do worse today in that class 30 years later. Because I thought computers was a fad. I'm just saying. It's not my thing. Now I hire people that they do that stuff. And I go, that's awesome. I don't know how it works. It's like voodoo or something. I don't know. They created a website or, you guys. Let me just say this. If your kid's not good at math, it's not the end of the world. There's other things to do besides counting. It's okay. Love the kids you got. Let me say this, married people. You know where the grass is greener? Where do you water it?
Something like, yeah, well, we need a storm in our house. We need a flash flood.
Well, then go home today after church and go, let it rain. Married people. Singles, drought it out. That's what you got to do. Love you. That was pretty quick. I just thought of that right then. Thank you. Yes, thank you. All right. Okay. Don't get carried away. Here we go. Don't think you're better than you really are. It is a psychological phenomenon that one of the reasons we all hate our jobs is we believe we'd be a better boss. That's true for some of you. And for some of you, if you become the boss, we're all unemployed. Amen? It's true. Maybe some people are better at things, more talented at things, organizing things, and praise God for those people because we get jobs. Everybody today wants to be famous. Why? I'm not famous, but I am known. People know me and they love me. I'm not rich, but I am wealthy. I have relationships. Look, the reason you're miserable is you're living for the wrong things. Stop living an Instagram life to get liked and start living a Jesus life to get loved. That's the difference. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Just as bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. Like, you don't appreciate your toe until you whack it, amen? Anybody ever broken a toe? You're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot you were there. When your toe's broken, you think about it every day, huh? You don't appreciate things until they don't work. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. I'm not more important than you at Sandals. I'm just the mouth. That's it. I'm the mouth. Some of you are like the thigh. Some of you are the buttocks, and I'm watching out for you. Right? We have many parts. We all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Do you know that God has made you to be magical in some way? To be extraordinarily special in some way. And here's the sad thing, not in every way, and probably not in the way that you would have picked, but you're not God. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Look, you want to have the best life? Embrace how God has made you. Quit wishing you were somebody else and say, God, I want to be the best version of me I can be. And that's a prayer God will answer. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. We shouldn't be jealous of each other. Ladies, you shouldn't be jealous of a beautiful woman any more than you should be jealous of a beautiful tree. They both reflect God's glory. They both do. Right? They both do. You don't ever visualize stabbing a forest on Instagram. Oh, you're so pretty. So pretty. Then why do you hate beautiful women? They have challenges maybe that you don't. Right? Honor each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Listen, here's who you need to embrace. I am called to be a servant of Jesus. This is why nobody's happy. Everybody thinks they're supposed to be a superstar when Jesus has called us to be servants. Look at our world today. Listen to me. If you're under 25, you're the most depressed and most anxious-filled generation in world history that we've documented. And here's the reason. Kids today don't think they're anything special if they're not famous, if they're not wealthy, if they don't have hundreds of thousands of followers. Listen to me, young people. Jesus Christ hasn't called you to get followers. He's called you to be a follower of Him, to live for Him. And here's why. All those people that like you, it's just for a moment. Jesus loves you forever. Live for him. I'm called to be a servant of Jesus. And some of you guys say, well, Pastor, I could never be used of God like you. You have no idea. You have no idea what God could do through you. I just found out this week, this is a true story. I found out this week that there's a young couple who's gotten engaged in San Francisco. They got engaged in San Francisco. They watched Sandals Church online, which, by the way, our online church is growing faster than our physical churches. They watch online, they got engaged, and they wanted to be a part of Sandals Church. So they fly here each weekend for premarital counseling. Wait for it. They don't meet with pastors. They don't meet with me. You don't want to meet with me. I'll help you not get married. I'll be like, do you know they come every single week and they meet with a couple who do construction Monday through Friday, and on the weekends, with God's help, they build people who are getting married. They build them up and they prepare them and they get them ready. And you know what's amazing? Here's what's amazing at Sandals Church over and over again. You know who people ask to do their weddings? Like at first, they're always, I want Pastor Matt. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know what happens over and over? They end up wanting the volunteers who do the premarital counseling with them to do the ceremony. And do you know why that is? Because what they experience is the gifting of God through ordinary people who are doing extraordinary things for Jesus. That's the life you want to live. And let me say this. Some of you don't serve because you're like, I don't know anything about the Bible. Great, I have a place for you. It's called children's ministry. No, wait for it. You can learn with them. You can be in a Bible class with four-year-olds and go, no way! No, what? And every year you get a little wiser. You just go five-year-olds, six-year-olds, seven-year-olds, and one day you graduate with them. Yeah! It's a great place to learn. It's a great place to learn. Some of you need to go there. You need to learn the basics. As Christians, we don't hit each other. No biting. No biting. No throwing each other down and stomping on your heads. That'll prepare you for small group. Amen? If you want to live, literally, you want to live the life that you want, man, I beg you, own your own weaknesses. You're not perfect, so quit pretending. Stop it. I hate it when people get married. Oh, they're perfect for each other. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. Nobody's perfect except Jesus, and he's not getting married. At least not to you, right? It's true. Nobody's perfect. That's why people get married and then get divorced. They're like, I found out that guy wasn't perfect. I'm like, oh, well, that was a shocker. Nobody's perfect. People have weaknesses. Listen to me, I'm not the most talented person at Sandals Church. I just got here first. So they have to deal with me. And you know what I've done is I've surrounded myself with people who are better at things than I am. Better at organizing, better at leading, better at teaching, better at strategizing, better at making sure you're cared for, better at making sure that you're loved, better at making sure your needs are taken care of. And I'm surrounded by an incredible team, and that's what makes Sandals Church special. The secret sauce of Sandals is our weaknesses, and here's why. 2 Corinthians 12:8, three different times I beg the Lord to take it away. I want you to circle the word it. Do you know Paul doesn't tell us what the it is? All he tells us is that it was a thorn in the flesh, and he believed it was the devil, but he doesn't tell us what the struggle was. Three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best how? In arrogance? No, in weakness. And so I'm glad to boast in my weaknesses. Look, if you're new to Sandals Church, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I'm the best example of a husband ever. You know what I did this week? Oh, I was awesome. I was awesome in the wrong direction this week. You know, it was raining. My wife and I, we went and had lunch together, and we decided to run to the car. She slipped and fell. Guess what came out of my mouth? No, not that bad, but close. The words that came out of my mouth was, "Are you kidding me?" I know. What? So we get in the car and she's like, "I can't even believe it." You know what I said, "Me neither." Like married couples, think what would happen if you joined your spouse in attacking yourself. "Yep, that's right. I don't even know. What is he thinking?" Like you could ask me 1,000 times, "Why did you say that?" The only answer I can come up with is, "I'm an idiot." I don't know. Who says, "Are you kidding me?" when their wife falls in the rain? I'll tell you who, a sinner. A sinner. Because sometimes I care more about not being wet than my wife's safety. How sad is that? How sad is that? That's your spiritual leader. Somebody falls. "Are you kidding me? Get up." Man, it was bad. I didn't say the get up part. I knew after the second it came out of my mouth, I was like, I know some of you are battling some real stuff. Some real stuff. This week, a guy at the gym came up to me. He's been going to Sandals for I don't know how long, and here's what he said. He said, "Pastor Matt, I've been a sex addict my whole adult life." He said, "I want to thank you for Sandals Church." He said, "By the grace of God, my wife's still with me, and we're working through this together." And right there in LA Fitness, we just hugged each other. I said, "Thanks for being real." Look, some of you are battling some addictions, some struggles. Some of you are battling anxiety and depression, and you just want it to go away. And you're begging God, and you're pleading with God, and you're asking God over and over again, "Take this away, take this away." I want you to write this down. The longer the struggle, the sweeter the victory. The sweeter the victory. The best marriages aren't the ones that never fight. The best marriages are the ones that don't give up, that endure. Do you know why? Because the Bible says love never fails. It doesn't say it never fights. That's married people clapping right there. All the single people are like, All right, last point. Not the last point? I think it's the last point. Oh, we got a couple more. Relax, all right. Here's the thing. You know why most of our lives don't change? Because we change the wrong things. Some of you believe that if you just change your location, you change your life. One of my friends and mentors in ministry, do you know where he's a pastor? Hawaii. Yeah. You're like, "Oh, Sandals, Hawaii, I feel called." Do you know that you can live in physical paradise and still be in emotional hell? My friend who pastors in Hawaii had an emotional breakdown and had to check himself into an institution for months. Changing your location might not change you. Write this down. I've got to change what really matters. Don't run from your problems, run at them. Tammy and I had a great talk this week. We needed one. I had to rebound from my comment at the restaurant in the rain. We were out walking the dog, and this is just kind of the time that we connect. We just kind of talk about life. And here's what I realized. You know, a lot of Tammy and I's problems come from talking about what's wrong rather than what matters. And the first time I realized this is when we were parenting our kids when they were little. My wife couldn't stand it when our kids picked their noses. "Stop that, stop that, stop that, stop. You'll be like your dad, stop that." I remember one day my dad said, "Does it really matter?" Let me ask you this question, moms. You ever wonder if Jesus picked his nose when he was little? I'm sure he probably did at least once. He turned out all right. Last time I checked, he saved the world. So let's focus on what really matters. And so I asked Tammy this question. I said, "Can you give me three things, just three, not 1,000, three things that really matter to you that I do to show you I love you and I care about you? Give me three things. Listen to me, guys. You know what she said to me after she gave me her idea? She said, what are things that matter to you? What are things that matter to you? What matters? Change what really matters. What in your life needs to change? What's important? Philippians 1:10 says this, for I want you to understand what really matters. Why would the Bible say that? Because a lot of people don't. So that you may live pure and a blameless life until the day Christ returns. Some of you guys are living for things that don't matter. Look, if you buy a new house and it's nicer than mine, that's great for you, but it doesn't matter to me. You might drive a nicer car than me. That's great for you. It doesn't matter to me. Look, I've spent enough of my life wasting it on things. I don't need that stuff. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't. What matters? What's important? What do you care about? Think about that. Better yet, look at this next question. All the others only live for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Here's what's wrong with our prayer lives. We tell Jesus what matters to us, and we fail to ask what matters to you. Philippians 2:21, you know who he's talking about here? Christian leaders. They have blogs. They write books. But they're not living ways for things that matter to Jesus. Many Christian leaders today are living to get likes, living to be published, living to build a platform, not living for Jesus. It's the reality. What are you living for? You ever ask yourself what matters to Jesus? Because he tells us. That's why we have the scriptures, so we know what matters to Jesus. Write this down. Jesus cares more about what's happening inside me than around me. Jesus says this, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees. This is one of the core verses for Sandals Church. First, clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will become what? Clean too. You want to clean up what you do? Clean up who you are. Deal with matters of the heart. At Sandals Church, our mission is to help you, to come alongside you, to become real about what's really happening with yourself, with God, and with others. That's the vision of Sandals Church. That's the vision God gave us. It's the vision, if you call Sandals home, that he's called you to. And we talked about last week, not everybody comes to Sandals, lives this vision. Forget about them. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Yeah, we got fake people at Sandals. Yeah, we got sinners at Sandals. Yeah, we got problems at Sandals. Yeah, we got all that stuff at Sandals. I'm not talking about any of them. I'm talking to you. What is Jesus calling you to do right now? Because all you're going to be held accountable for on Judgment Day is not what everybody else was doing, but what did you do? What did you do? Why did we come up with Real with Self, God, and Others? Because that is the life of Jesus. Luke 2:52 says this. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. You know what that means? He was real with himself. He had to grow up. He grew in wisdom and in stature. He grew in favor with God. He grew relationally with God and the people. He grew relationally in three directions, with self, God, and others. That is the life you've always wanted. Nobody else's life, but the life where you figure out your gifts, your strengths, your weaknesses, and you live out your calling, and you love people with the gifts that you've given, not with the ones you haven't. That's living. That's life. We do three things at Sandals Church. Number one, we help you figure out being real on the weekends. But let me just be honest. A sermon is not going to change your life, but people will. Don't just listen to a sermon. Get in a group. And don't just get in a group. Get on a team. How can you worship a servant if you don't serve? Do you know what that is? It's a hypocrite. Just serve. Find a place. Live it out on a team. Guys, Sandals is big enough where you can be lost. We want you to be found. And the way you're found is when you get in a group and you get on a team. And then the church is as small as your group, and it's as small as the team that you serve on. No more excuses. No more excuses. And let me tell you, as your pastor, I attend every service on the weekends. I serve on a team whenever I can. And do you know what? I'm in a group every week. Do you know why? Because I believe it works. It's changed my life. And I believe it'll change yours. And it will help you to live the life you want. Quit asking God to bless your fantasy and invite God to bless your reality. Because that's where God works wonders. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you, through your power, through your strength, would use us in spite of our weaknesses, would use us in spite of our sins. Lord, that in our weakness, you would become strong. And Lord, we as ordinary people could do extraordinary things through the power that is at work within us. God, right now, some of us have the wrong coach and we need to fire that coach and we need to hire you. And we need to come to work for you, and we need to serve you, and we need to listen to you. Give us the courage today to make the changes you've called us to make. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, Sandals. God bless.